Welcome to the Millionaire Secrets Podcast, where the most successful people in the world share their secrets to help you create the awesome life you desire. Welcome to another episode of Millionaire Secrets. This is Jeff Lerner. Thrilled as always to be here with you yet again for another wonderful conversation about success, making an impact in this world, not just making lots of money. Look, we get it. Everybody wants to make lots of money. There's 7 billion of us that want to make lots of money. That qualifies you for nothing and makes you in no way, shape, or form exclusive. It's about what you're doing in the world, the impact that you're having. And by the way, that is the millionaire secret, that what you do for the world will eventually be what comes back to you. On that note, I am here joined today by Patch Baker, who's a renowned investor and serial entrepreneur. He's bought companies and sold companies. He's built companies and sold companies. And he does a ton of amazing work with veterans. And I'll let him talk about it. I won't presume to speak for what it is, but it's just amazing work to empower veterans as they re-enter what I guess is called civilian life. And just really an amazing guy who I'm stoked to have on the show. Patch, welcome to Millionaire Secrets.
Thanks, Jeff, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So glad you're here. We were talking. I love when I get to talking with my guests before the show, because when entrepreneurs hang out, it kind of goes a certain way. And then immediately I'm like, wait, put a pin in that and let's just pick it back up. I'll hit record. And that's basically what I'm proposing we do, man. We were talking already. It took all of 12 seconds to get into the real truth of what it takes to be successful. And, you know, that the overnight microwave success thing is it's a great sales pitch, but it's horrible to try to deliver on because it's not real. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about maybe your experience in business and your truth of what it really takes in business? That's a big opening question, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much all of it has to do with mindset, you know, and that's there's success story. The things that make the best YouTube sensational videos, the things that make, you know, stuff go wild on Facebook and Instagram, they're always the story of like the underdog, right? You know, the person that came from the broken home or from no money or from whatever, that, you know, rose to what, you know, some level of success, whatever that is. You know, they won the football game, they became the successful athlete, they made a bunch of money, whatever it is. I think it also takes a certain mindset of, you have to want that. You can't, if your ultimate want is, what's the secret that I can do this tomorrow, then you should be playing the lottery, not, you know, going the entrepreneurial route. Because, you know, we said this earlier, but overnight successes, I have a lot of people that are like, man, he's an overnight success. Well, that overnight success just spent 15 years grinding, trying to figure out how to make it work. And then they're an overnight success. That's really not true. And I think, you know, the mindset of the get rich quick or the just do these three things and you become successful is all bullshit. I mean, there's no part about that is real. Unless, of course, we're talking about like if you had the aspiration to make $1 million and you played the lottery and you won $150 million, then you're highly successful.
Right.
that is, but if you're setting out for what would be a like a life goal or aspiration or business dreams, or you know, bring some new product or new thing, new service to the world, or helping more people or any of that kind of stuff. If that's what you're going after, I can guarantee you it's not overnight.
Yeah. So I'm looking up, I just Googled what percentage of lotteries get paid out.
Yeah.
And it says, according to the Tax Foundation, state lotteries pay out an average of only 60% of gross revenue. So that means if you win $1 million in the lottery, that's 60% of, what would that be? $1.8 million or close to that. Yeah. That means there were 1.8 million tickets that didn't win.
Yeah.
For you to win. So you can take whatever number you have, multiply it times 1 2/3 or whatever that is. That's how many people didn't win. That's your strategy. Clearly not a great strategy. So
And here's another thing. It's almost like, I teach with Roland Fraser on his EPIC program, which is Ethical Profits in Crisis, one of the programs.
Oh, that's where they buy the businesses.
They buy businesses, little or no money down. He teaches everybody how to do it.
Yeah.
This is the funniest thing to me. Like, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. It's just a mindset. So something got them to buy the program, and then they ask for more shortcuts. And I'm like, wait a minute, you already got the shortcut. You've got, you know, 15 guys inside this program teaching that have all done this, you know, for a long amount of time. Mm-hmm. And they broke it down to an eight-week course. And you have people on every single call asking for the shortcut. I'm right. Like, wait a minute, you already, like, it doesn't get any better than what you have.
Yeah, that's funny.
But it's like, it's almost like this mentality of, I can shortcut the shortcut, the shortcut, the shortcut, to where I can do this overnight. And that, I think that mentality is so wrong, because if you flip it around and you say it the other way, and you say, okay, you want the shortcut to get overnight success. Name one thing that you're really, really good at. Now I want you to teach me everything you know about that thing in an hour.
Yeah.
It's not feasible. You can say, oh yeah, I'll do it, but it's not real, right?
Not only tell me everything you know, but actually give me a process through which to implement what you are teaching me all within an hour.
That's going to have me be a master. As you.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be as successful as you. Right? Because not only is it that I hear the information, they also want to be as good as you. Let's take like a plumber, right? A guy's been plumbing for 40 years and he says, hey, I want you to teach me to be a plumber in an hour. Teach me everything you know over the last 40 years. But not only do I want to hear everything you know in an hour, I want to be just as good as you in that hour, right?
So it's a perfect analogy, and I love flipping it. And by the way, I am 100% going to share that with all our sales guys to do that flip when people are pushing for, you know, even more and more compact results. But, you know, the other thing to me is I feel like, well, I guess two things. First of all, let's assume people are hearing this. And this conversation is kind of heavy on my mind because, you know, I get into these conversations a lot. Like, what does it really take? And for the most part, they're extremely well received because I think I wish there'd be another term for this, but in the guru space, this is such an up against the grain conversation. Like, we're having the truthful conversation, not the let me sell you some bullshit conversation. And so people appreciate it because I think it's refreshing. But I had one person the other day comment on a video, and it's like your parents, you know, like they told you good job, attaboy, love you, way to go, like 100 times. But the one time they like were like, I'm disappointed in you, son. That's what you remember, right? So for me, I had this one comment on YouTube the other day that was like, yeah, we get it. Everybody's lazy and everybody's in a hurry. Why don't you just tell us what to do?
Yeah.
And now granted, this was an interview with a guy that has a really unique and proprietary business that's not like some clonable model. So it's an asinine comment to be like, well, just tell me what to do. Cause like this guy's business isn't like, it's not like he just does affiliate marketing or something.
Right.
And so, but anyway, it resonated with me. So now I'm kind of like already defensively thinking through how people are processing what we're talking about right now, where they're like, well, yeah, that's great. Okay. I get it. But why do you guys talk about this mindset stuff so much? Why don't you just tell me what to do?
Yeah, well, so this is what I always say, and nobody likes this answer, but I'm kind of an in-your-face kind of guy, and I don't really care. You know, you either love it or you don't, right? But if I teach you exactly what to do, I am telling you exactly how to fail. Because as soon as I stop telling you what to do, you don't know what to do next.
Right.
So what we try to do is teach the fundamentals so that you can continue to go on and not be, you know, beholden to me, right? You think about this. In a world that we all want to live in, what should happen is that parents teach their kids ethos and responsibility and like core fundamental building blocks of responsibility, loyalty, like what all those things mean, right? And the idea is that not that you tell them every single thing to do, even though a lot of parents try to do that, it is better to teach them how to act, not what to act. So, you know, if I say something like, in church, you should sit down and be quiet and not interrupt. In a library, you should be quiet and not be loud. In a grocery store, you should not run the aisles and, you know, throw peanut butter all over the store. And in a, you know, like if you teach them those things and like the core fundamentals, then they should be able to, when you're not around, use what you've taught them in the past to make good decisions in the moment. That's what every parent should strive to be able to do. Will your kid make the decisions they need to make when you're not around?
Right.
Well, the same thing is true in business. I hear lots and lots and lots of business owners say, well, I'm the only guy that can do this thing, or I'm the only girl that can sell this product. Well, unfortunately, what that really means is you don't have a system and you're not a good teacher.
Right.
And if you're not a good teacher, hire somebody who is a good teacher. Because if you are the only person in your business that can do something as good as you can do it, then you have effectively pigeonholed yourself into
you don't,
that.
You don't have a business. You have a job.
You're a one-trick pony, right? On the other hand, if you can systematize that and you could say, hey, look, I'm not going to put you into a box so tight that, you know, checklist. I hate checklists for anything that's not 100% process driven, right? Because what happens is you stifle people's creativity and initiative and drive and all those things because they can't operate outside the checklist. But if we're talking about how do you add a folder to Google Drive or Dropbox, well, that is a known outcome that you want. And that is step one through, you know, 13. Right. But if we're talking about sales, or we're talking about coaching, or we're talking about any service, or we're talking about, you know, any strategic partner, merger, acquisition, strategy, marketing, any of that kind of stuff, you can't do checklist stuff. Instead, let's learn the fundamentals. And then when you know those really, really well, then when a situation arises, you know how to at least head in the right direction, right? You may not have every answer right now, but you know how to head in the right direction to get into a solution.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. So like even, and well, I have two things floating in my head. I'm just going to say them both, one before the other. One thing is in our curriculum right now, one of the things, you know, that we're really trying in my company, what we're really trying to do is like, and I say this and I get it. If you're one of my students, I get it. I'm not being critical. This is just bear with me. Everybody wants this whole quick win concept. Well, just give me a quick win so I can get my belief up. So then I'll keep going. Then I'll fight the fight for the long haul or something. And like, I get it. You know, you're obviously a military guy. It's like, we want to conquer the hill so that, you know, as a precursor to conquering the country.
Right? Yeah.
Everybody, you know, and, but at the same time, like, I don't think that the quick win is actually a substitute for certainty. Because think about becoming a doctor. Like if you show up at med school and you're like, well, listen, man, you know, I'm in on, I mean, I like the looks of this doctor thing, but honestly, for me to commit to it, I need a quick win. Like, is there any way I can just, you know, I don't know, remove a mole or something on in my first 2 weeks, just so I know what surgery feels like. Like, no, you're not a doctor. You don't get to cut anybody. It's going to be 8 years.
Yeah.
And, but that's because in people's minds, they're like, oh, well, doctors are a prestigious and successful, very real, very tangible thing. I've been trusting them since I was a kid. So I think that this idea that, oh, well, we got to get people quick wins is a little bit of a selling ourselves short as educators, where what that really means is people are asking for something in the here and now to substitute for their lack of belief in the future. And that the better service we can provide, although the much harder service, is to actually demonstrate and build up their vision and their belief in their future so that they'll stop wanting this bullshit compromise in the present of like, give me some superficial win just so that I can feel good about myself and get a little dopamine hit to power me to the next 2 weeks, because then all you're addicting them to is false results.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple of things here, and I wrote down some quick ones. So you're right when you're talking about an educator. So, all right. So one of the things that I learned really, really well was compartmentalizing information. When I was in the military, compartmentalizing information was like the easiest way to go through like traumatic events, right? So if let's say we're out on patrol and something catastrophic happens, you know, Marines are injured, maybe even some, you know, deaths, maybe even some, you know, catastrophic injuries that were highly visual. That doesn't mean the mission is over. That means you take that little piece of the day and you put it in this little box over here and you get your head right, because we're going right back out on mission. We're continuing this patrol. Well, inside a business, you also have to do that. And you can have a really bad meeting, you know, 1 hour, yeah, and the next hour it's a brand new one, and you better compartmentalize what happened today, and you can talk about it tonight at 6 or tomorrow morning on the morning call. But that next hour, you better be at 100%, because it's a whole new opportunity. It's a whole new mission. It's a whole new whatever. So here's the problem with this, is what you're talking about as an educator, is actually very, very real. And especially because you're the CEO of a company that has a lot of them, you have two different, you are an educator and you're the CEO of a bunch of other educators, right?
Right, right.
So you have to compartmentalize those two. Which part of that are you talking about? As an educator or as somebody that is instructing other educators? But don't forget that part of being the CEO also means that you have to have some understanding of marketing.
Of course.
The thing that will sell the most products is fear, answering every objection up front. There's a sequence. There's a known,
A guarantee, trying to get as close to a guarantee as possible. Right.
Yeah, there's a known set of factors that will sell more products. So you have to do one of two things. You either have to say, I'm a guru and I'm going to stick with all these things that I know is going to sell a bunch, or I'm the outlier and don't listen to all the gurus. I'm going to give you the real scoop. And then if you really want to, you know, sell the high ticket stuff, it's not going to be the mass market. And the reason it's not the mass market is there's no way that you can actually say the real deal in a lot of circumstances and actually get people to purchase it. But what they will do is they'll purchase a $50,000 or $100,000 mastermind to come hear you and me speak about the real deal. This is what everybody else won't tell you. Things like, I said this one the other day and I had everybody go, what's going on? Well, like the real deal about consultants, right? Here's the thing no consultant ever wants you to hear out loud. Here's the thing that every educator doesn't want you to hear out loud is, and I've made, you know, lots and lots of money from being a consultant, but here's the thing that is the secret of being a consultant. The whole reason that I can come into your business and see the areas of opportunity and the areas of loss is because I'm not in the day to day. You are in it every day. There's a certain way you've been doing it every day. I get to come in with fresh new eyes and say, oh, well, you're losing money over there. You probably don't make enough money over there. Drop that. You're making a lot of money over here. Do more of this. And here's a whole new area of opportunity. Well, they look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Like we moved, you know, further in the last 30 days than we have in the last 3 years.
Right.
Well, that's only because you are stuck in the day to day. It's hard to see when you're stuck in the day to day. Well, that same principle and concept, if you flip it again on the other side, the thing that I can see right now on the other side of that is you have to be willing to listen to a consultant and actually do the things that they tell you to do, because you wouldn't have hired them as a consultant in the first place if you didn't think that they were bringing something to the table, right? Nobody hires a consultant sight unseen, right? Unless they were told or they heard them somewhere, or, you know, whatever. So I don't know. I think back to your quick win statement, a quick win to me is finding a guy that I'm like, man, he sounds like he knows exactly what I'm looking for, and he has a course. I'm going to sign up for that. That is the quick win.
Yeah.
Right? After that, like, I should be able to pick up quick wins from every video or every thing that he's talking about or every interaction with them. I should be able to get my quick wins through knowledge, not through actual effort, because the effort part is where I actually learned the fundamentals to where I can do it long after I'm not in their course anymore. I don't have access to them anymore. Or hopefully I do so well in their course that I have unlimited access to them because I've applied everything and they've reached out to me saying, hey, you're one of my best students. Let's do some more cool stuff.
Yeah. I love the way you kind of reframe that. And as you're saying it, it's sort of right at the tail end of what you were saying, sort of emerged this clarity of like, you know how Einstein supposed, and if, who knows if Einstein actually said it, they always attribute things to Einstein that sound smart, but it's a smart statement. Always make things as simple as possible, but never any simpler.
Yeah.
So I'm like, as an educator, always make the wins as quick as possible, but never any quicker.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking is like, okay, you're right. Cause you're right, man. Just buying the course itself should have accelerated the learning curve from 10 years to 10 months or, you know, whatever. That's a quick win. And then if you want to build quick wins into your program, that's fine. Make the wins come as quick as possible, but never any quicker, which would mean creating the like fake quick wins,
right,
to pander to people to make it easier to sell the courses.
Right.
That's anyway, by the way, thank you for the free consulting session here. Cause this is, I'm going through this right now with my team and trying to architect this stuff. I appreciate you telling the truth of things. So can we back up a little bit? I mean, you were in the military. I know you work with veteran-owned businesses. I saw you were in the military. Clearly, that's what connected that interest, right? I'm curious, what branch you served in?
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps 14 and a half years, and okay. I basically built everything that I know in business now. I built it off of what I learned in the military. And to back up, I was a brat. My dad was a sergeant major. Then I went to military academy when I was 13 years old. I went in the Marine Corps when I was 17 years old. So it was like, it's really the only way I really knew how to operate. But it gave me such a good perspective on like how to set things up in a systematic way that I could maintain forever and ever and ever. And that was, I think I look at things like a puzzle. But I do the work to flip over all the puzzle pieces so they're all facing the right way.
Right,
and then
right.
I can just kind of fit them together. And I think a lot of people are like reaching their hand, you know, when you buy a puzzle and you get the plastic bag of all the pieces, they reach their hand in and they put a piece down, they reach their hand in again. They're like, well, this doesn't fit. There's no way this puzzle works.
Right.
This doesn't work. I'm like, wait a minute. I bought two courses. That's two puzzle pieces right there, and they don't fit together. I don't know what to do. Like, all right, well, why don't we do some, like, collective work here? Let's pour everything out. Let's make sure that we have everything on the table, flip over all the pieces, you know, maybe even segment the side pieces and the corner pieces out right. a little bit, and then go to work, right?
And maybe, like, actually look at the picture on the box, right? And realize, wait, that was a sky piece and that was a dirt piece. They're not meant to fit together.
Right. And I think people aren't really clear on themselves either. And this is a hard thing to teach because you have to have people that are real with themselves. And it's one of the things that I think the military does so well because they break you down. We say breaking it down. I don't really like that term, but they break you down in the very beginning of like boot camp, and then they kind of build you up as a team.
Right.
And the thing about the military is, for me, is it can be super humbling, right? Because there is a point where your body will break. There is a point where your mind will break. There is a point where, you know, physically you just can't keep going. until you get a little rest or a little food or a little sleep or a little whatever. And then you can go on and you can push your body to do, you know, do things that most people think are extraordinary. And it's just a regular Tuesday, you know what I mean? In the military. And I think that part is missing for a lot of civilians and even, you know, people that have, well, first, I don't know, entrepreneurs in general, or especially people that want to be entrepreneurs, is they're not honest with themselves, right? They want to do things like, I don't know, acquire a portion of somebody else's business, but they bring nothing to the table. Right. And instead of spending the time to go get, you know, to hone their craft or to get that skill, they're pissed off that they didn't get to acquire the business. Or instead of like fumbling through 10 or 30 or 100 really crappy podcasts to actually get the hang of it so that you could be a good podcaster or, you know, have your own show or your own YouTube channel, they won't go through the effort that it takes to actually hone and refine their craft to bring something of value, right? If the two of us weren't good public speakers, it would be very hard for us to get to this level of conversation this quickly.
Right.
You need two people that have some kind of skill. Well, I didn't wake up like this morning and all of a sudden I could talk on a podcast. I've been doing this, you know, on stages across the world. You know, I mean, I've probably have thousands of hours on stage and in front of audiences, in front of, you know, actually in front of Marines, right? Like, right. I've gained all those skills over long amounts of time of speaking to people. Well, if I gave you a course that was, you know, 4 hours on how to do your own podcast, that doesn't necessarily mean that now you're as good as me on a podcast. Or maybe you think I suck. Maybe you want to be, you know, 15,000 times better than me. Great, no problem. But I can't teach you how. I can teach you how. I can't teach you the experience.
Right.
So that quick win is, okay, here's a four-hour breakdown of all the stuff that I've learned over time. These are all the things you need to do, and don't do these 17 things. This is the reason why you're doing them. 4 hours later, you should say, okay, great. I now have something that I should study, not I completed that four-hour lesson. Because nobody wants to do that. They'll spend, I have a course, we sell courses like 10 grand, right? People go through the course. It's supposed to be a 12-week course. They'll go through it in like 3 days. And then they're like, hey, I'm good to go. I passed the course. Let's go to the next step. Well, okay. So what was the first step that we talked about in module one of day one? And they're like, you know, well, I don't know. Well, why don't you go back and watch it? Because everything that I do really well in my life, I have studied that thing for mostly years. Mm-hmm. And I've practiced and I've refined it, whether we're talking about playing the guitar or shooting a rifle or building a business or Facebook ads or podcasting or how to create strategic partners, mergers and acquisitions, structuring a business. It doesn't really matter what you're talking about. I've had years of practice. All what you should be thinking when you buy a course like that, in my mind, and this is what I try to do myself when I go through courses, is, okay, I went through it once. Now I know exactly what I need to study. Mm-hmm. And then you go back and you do it again and again, and you pick the certain parts. And then you start trying to refine and hone your craft after that for the things that you know you're weak in. And if you did that, man, you know how many free multi-million dollar ideas I've given away, said, look, this is exactly how you do it. And I gave away $1 million website one time. It was doing $1 million. I gave it away. In 3 months, it was dead. It was completely dead. I was like, hey, you worked on this thing for a year. You literally put in the effort to work on this thing for a year. Why did it die? And they basically said, well, I didn't do the same things that I did before, because once I got the to the $1 million, I felt like I had, you know, easy street. I could just collect the check. Mm-hmm. Now, it took us an hour to get to that short abbreviated version of what he said, but that was the gist of it. So again, going back to what you were talking about, understanding the fundamentals, understanding that this is something you really need to invest your time and your energy and your effort on refining what you're doing and fill in all the blanks, so that puzzle picture, that puzzle as it comes together, builds you a nice, big, pretty vivid picture of where you want to be in your life. And if that's not where you want to be, the cool thing is, this is a custom puzzle, right? You can literally take off all the edges and all the flat pieces, right? And you can build it in any direction you want to build.
Right.
As long as you have a clear understanding of, you know, what you're trying to do. You don't have to have all the answers, but you got to have some understanding of what would be a touchdown for you, right?
Yeah, I think it's so important for anyone, you know, and you know, I'm talking about having been in the trenches 25 years. I'm 41. I started my first business when I was 16 years old, when I took some money that my parents had set aside for me to go to college. And I went out secretly and hired a computer programmer to build me I bought the domain cyberlotto.com. I wanted to build the world's first global lottery in all languages with billion-dollar jackpots in all currencies. And I thought that if I took like 15 grand and hired a programmer, that would just magically appear. Yeah. I know a little more about development cycles now. Never mind that a year after I had the idea and started working on it, it was made illegal by the United States Congress. So, and I was 17 and I was like, well, I either have to move to Antigua and come up with another 300 grand for a gaming license, or I should just abandon. Anyway, my point is, I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years. So I'm speaking with that from that standpoint. The idea that you just floated about going through a course or a book or a seminar or anything one time, all that does is warm you up to prepare you to be able to learn what was in the course.
Right.
Like in speaking and teaching, yeah. We talk about tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them, and then remind them what you told them. And then and only then might they retain some key element of what you were talking about, right? It's the same way with courses, and we have to self-impose that same discipline and go, I went through the whole course just to get a 50,000 foot view of what this course was even about. Now I'm going to go back through the course with a fine tooth comb, implement the crap out of everything, or at least make notes about what the implementation would look like of everything in the course, knowing full well that some of those things might take years to fully unfold. And then once I think I've really sucked all the juice out of the course, I'm going to go back through it again to reinforce the principles and make sure I didn't miss anything. And then and only then would I argue that you have even begun to get the complete value of what was in the course. Doesn't mean the work is done, but at least now you're ready to start.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about that is a foreign concept to just about everybody.
Because everybody's in a hurry. They don't want it done right. They want it done fast.
Right. But like anything that we do well in life, right? Again, I'll go back to the, you know, if you play guitar really, really well, and I pay you $100,000 to teach me how you play guitar today, I just want it in, you know, 4 short hours, and then I want the result too. It's not that you taught me what you do. It's I want to be able to have the result of being able to play guitar as good as you do because I paid you $100,000.
Right.
It's not feasible or possible. If you are a guitar guru and you teach me who's never played guitar before, you know, all the chords, at that point in 4 hours, I should have the exact starting point of where I need to start practicing. That's it.
Yeah.
And you know, I actually do play guitar, but the concept is I don't care how much money you pay me. You could pay me $10 million. Jeff Bezos could come in and be like, hey dude, I'll pay you $10 million to teach me how to play guitar. I'll give you 4 hours. I can't do it. I couldn't do it if you gave me 4 days. Yeah. I couldn't do it if you gave me 4 weeks. Ray, I'm not sure I could do it if we did it 10 hours a day for 4 months. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that I could do it because I'm operating at a fairly high level. And because of that, it doesn't matter what else he's good at. It doesn't apply to this thing, which is guitar. And again, you can change the subject. You can mold that to whatever. But the concept is still true that in order for me to market something and actually be successful selling it, I do have to give some kind of guarantee. That's the quick win. And give a guarantee without going against the guarantee clause of Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. Right. And on top of that, I have to give you some tangible thing that you feel has value in it. And that value better exponentially be higher than what I'm actually going to pay at the cart. Right. And that's why you see offers that is like, get $92,784.41 today for $400.
Right.
Like we have to do that because so part of it is our fault as marketers. We've done this for so long, right? Yeah. We keep building these value trains, right? And then the second thing is that over time, especially with the advent of the internet, over time we've almost gotten to this point where if it's not right now, if it's not instant gratification, there better be a really good reason as to why there's not, because otherwise I need to, as a common courtesy to the rest of the civilization, leave a bad review.
Right.
Right. Like that's how this thing works. And I mean, Yelp is probably the one that started that, but now it's like Amazon. It's, you know, every review site out there has almost made it. They've almost popularized or rewarded you for giving somebody a bad review because you left a review. And it's all like the instant gratification. You know, did this product ship on time? Did you get the result that you wanted? Did you get the color that you wanted? Did you get there's zero room for hiccups. Well, if you are a true entrepreneur, you know that 90% of whatever you build, 90% of every single thing that you build, product, service, system, process, whatever, 90% of what you build will break 100% of the time until you work out all the bugs.
Right.
That's why everybody's scared to go to freaking market these days, because if you don't have beta stamped all over it, they are relentless. They're ruthless with their reviews. And that's really hard for software people, hard for service people, hard for product people, like digital course people, podcast people. The internet's ruthless these days.
Yeah, and the reality is the only way to ultimately assure quality is to stop innovating. It's to just focus on perfecting what you've already done and not create anything new. As soon as you create new, you create variability and ultimately bugs, like you said. And so it is. It's at cross purposes. The market is at war with itself, trying to hold people to this perfectionist standard while at the same time demanding shiny new things.
100%.
Right?
100%. And not only that, but not only do you stifle innovation, but you also stifle the ability for you to get the latest and greatest information. Not like, people will say Apple. Apple is famous for like minimum viable product to market,
right,
and then work out the bugs. They had enough money that they could kind of fight all the little legal battles and all that kind of stuff that happened along the way, even if they were, you know, kind of infringing on somebody's patent or their trademark, or they could kind of fight all those battles. That's not how most people do it. Most people will say, look, I need this thing to be perfect from day one. And then they almost get discouraged when the cart doesn't work, or the upsell doesn't work, or the, you know, their Facebook, you know, ads get shut down or whatever. And then they instantly feel like the mental calculator kicks on. Well, you know, I spent $3,000 for this, and I spent $2,000 for this video, and I spent $5,000 on these. And they start doing this mental tally of how much they've got invested in this thing instead of just working on the next, like, what is the solution?
Right.
Like, what is the next thing that I need to do in order to get this thing to work? And by the way, I think problem solving is the number one skill that an entrepreneur can have. It is not communication. It's not sales. It's not, like, people tell you all kinds of different stuff. This is what I know. If you know that you have bad communication skills, you can problem solve through that and hire somebody that right. does have communication skills, done, right? You, it doesn't matter what it is. Problem solving is the number one thing that you can have. Well, that goes for everything that you'll ever do. A new product, taking the product to market, selling the product, affiliates, getting people to, you know, actually do the shit that you want them to do in order to find the success that you said that they could have. Because I will tell you, 100% of the time, there is no exception. 100% of the time, if somebody asks for a refund on a course that you gave them, if you ask them questions about the course, they have no idea what's in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I 100%.
It's 100% yeah. of the time. But that would be true if we were talking about college, too, right? It would be true if we were talking about fourth grade.
Right.
When you are actively participating in the course material, it is far more fun for you than it is if you're not, right? Everybody can remember some teacher that they absolutely loved. None of them will say that was the boringest class I've ever been in, but I loved the teacher. Nobody says that. It, for me, it was my fourth grade math teacher, Miss Hickey. I still remember her to this day. I love that woman, but this is what she had. She had new computers that had fraction munchers on it, right? She had all these cool little games that she made math fun for me for the first time ever. My, you know, biology teacher, Mr. Patterson, I love that dude. Because he was not a normal teacher. He let us do, you know, cool things in science class. And, you know, he made it super fun for me. It was me being interactive in the course that taught me everything and why I love those teachers so much. Same thing is true. If you had that social studies course or calculus course or whatever else you took and you're like, man, that teacher was so terrible, but I absolutely loved the curriculum. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So you can define how much you get out of a course by how much you participate. And the reason that you know how much you participate is, or the way that you know is, did you go through it three times? Because if you went through it three times, I guarantee you, you're not asking for a refund.
Right.
And anybody that does ask for a refund, I guarantee you they spent the money, they didn't go through it, and they didn't ask for help other than give me the quick win, give me the shortcut, give me the whatever, you know, next step is. None of them came to you and said, Jeff, I went through, you know, section two, and I got this part and I got this part, but I just don't understand how these two things connect. If that's the conversation you're having, those people will not drop out and they're not going to ask for a refund and they're not going to, because you're going to say, oh, this is easy. Let me explain it another way. This, and they go together like this. Oh, thank you so much. Let me go on to section three.
And those are your best customers that are giving you great feedback to go, oh, I should add another video to the course.
Those people will become raving fans if you do that, right? If you take something that somebody says, and you use the frequently asked questions section to actually go back and refine the course to make that connection. Again, we're back to the other thing where that's innovation, right? You listened to the market, then you went back and you refined your product. That means that you had a minimum viable product by definition right. when you went to market. It wasn't a finished product.
Right. Which, as you know, somebody who a little over two years ago, I launched a company I guess 2 years ago, we didn't have a product. 18 months ago, we launched our first product. I kind of limped it out with some videos. And, you know, now we've sold 60,000 of that course. We've redone it three times. I'm changing it yet again. We've built a massive, you know, one of the fastest growing private education companies in the world on the backs of that course. Like, I promise, a whole lot can happen after MVP launch.
For sure.
But nothing can happen until MVP launch. So hurry up and get the damn MVP launch done so that cool shit can happen. Right?
You know what's really funny about this? Is I literally just had this conversation the other day where I just tore into somebody. I won't mention their name or their business, but I let them have it in front of a group of, I don't know, probably 300 people on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is not that I put them on blast in front of this big group. It was the fact that they thanked me for it after I put them on blast,
right?
Which it makes it a good story. But here's the thing. I hear people say, well, it's not ready to go to market yet. Okay, great. What do you need? Well, we're refining this thing, and it usually has to do with like looks or copy or like something dumb, right? And the reason why I say it's dumb is because even as a top-level marketer, you literally are guessing. Now, it's a hypothesis, right? It's educated guess based on past experience, but it is a guess on which headline is going to work, which, you know, call to action is going to work. It's all a guess. Our job is to take our past experience and we take an educated guess on what those things are going to be. We get the minimum viable product. We put it out to the market. Typically, it's going to be through some kind of paid promotion, right? You might hit your own list for, you know, a minute, but if you don't have a list, you're probably going to do paid promotion. Well, here's the thing. I had a person tell me that they've tried Facebook ads and Facebook just doesn't work.
Right.
And I said, okay, so what you mean by Facebook doesn't work is that you put money into Facebook and Facebook didn't start kicking out dollars. That's what you mean by Facebook doesn't work. And they said, yes. And I said, that is the most small-brained thing that you could possibly have said, because you don't pay for ads on Facebook or any other platform in order to make sales. You pay Facebook in order to collect data. From that data, you make changes to your product, and then you put the message back out to the market. Now, I will be the first one to stand right beside you if you put money into Facebook to sell a product or a service or whatever you have, and you didn't get data back, right. I'll be the first one screaming at Facebook's front gate, right? But you get data back. It is up to you. And again, it probably means you either need a person or you need to refine and hone your own craft to be able to get that data back, understand what it says, and implement a new plan. Well, that's where everybody gets jacked up, right? And this is not beholden to Facebook either. It could be, you know, phone calls. It could be billboards. It could be anything, right? You're going to get some data back. Some platforms give the data, you know, back better than others. But again, if you're not listening to that and changing, tweaking, addressing, adjusting, you know, somehow fixing your content or your deliverable or your message in a way that is better received by the audience, then it doesn't matter what your personal feelings are, right? You could say, well, man, I think this one would work, but facts don't care about your feelings. It doesn't matter what you feel about it. It matters what the market says about it.
Amen to that. So let me ask you a question. I mean, we got 5 minutes before, I know we both have a hard stop. So let me bring this all to a point. And this has been amazing, by the way. I feel like this is like how business partners talk.
For sure.
And we just met, but it's like you say, man, we've got decades of momentum bringing this conversation to a head. But let's talk about this. You know, you talked about guitar. I was a professional piano player through my entire 20s. I spent, I did my more than 10,000 hours, probably 20, 30,000 hours, right? I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years. You were in the military for 25 years. Like, we've both, by virtue of our lives, developed this level of mastery and competence where like 10,000 hours is a good start, right?
Yep.
So how do you then bridge the gap? I'm just curious, your personal approach, where, because I've kind of drawn a line in the sand of my own life to say, I'm not going to pander. I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to bring people over to my side of the line, you know, kicking and screaming, or maybe laughing and smiling, or maybe they just won't come. But I'm going to be honest. And that's why I've enjoyed this conversation so much, is like every word of this conversation, people may be like, wait, when's he going to tell me how to increase the conversions on my landing page? And I would just be like, wait, did you not listen? Because he actually did tell you. You just have to work to get the meat out of it. But regardless, you know, we still, to your point, as marketers, need to extend a hand to people, meet people where they are, right? And where most people are is fried on dopamine, burned out at work, hanging, you know, living for the raise, living for the promotion, living sometimes just for the paycheck. And we're saying, listen, there's this whole other world of long form evolutionary growth and maturing into your best version of yourself that deserves, you know, to attract the value and the all the stuff we're talking about, right? But I'm curious, what's your bridge that you build? Because I'm sure, like me, you do have to build the bridge at some point, or else you're just almost like a crazy guy that only other successful entrepreneurs want to listen to.
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways depending on which aspect I'm in. So if I'm selling, I sell the sizzle, right? I sell the sexy, but I actually give them what they really need. Because if I try to give them what they need most of the time, it's not going to sell.
Yeah.
So I almost have to sell the sexy just to open up. It's almost like you have to beat people into submission in order to drag them to success.
Right.
And that's a hard thing.
That's the camel being dragged through the eye of the needle, where they literally had to whack the camel behind the knees so that it would collapse so they could drag it through the hole in the gate, or the gate in the wall.
Yeah. And that's, it's like, it is painful, but I can tell you right now, if you want to fail at launching a course, a program, a business, a product, a go-to-market strategy, if you want to fail, just start out with telling the truth about, like, in direct form.
Right.
Like, for example, let's say we're selling lights, you know, electrical outlet plugs. And if I just said, this plug will cover your electrical outlet, it would sell nothing.
That's such a brilliant example.
Just say exactly what the thing does and it will not sell at all. But if I said, this, you know, high-end durable plastic cover has been, you know, ergonomically and scientifically designed to keep out 100% of electric, you're going to sell them.
Right.
And it's like, I also call that methodology the resume methodology. Right. Everybody has to, you know, boast on their resumes and indulge and do all those kinds of things.
But to your point, there's a difference between writing a good resume and lying on your resume.
For sure. For sure.
As marketers, that's the line that I don't think we even come up to the line, because ideally you've got enough value in what you're doing. You don't have to toe that line. You can just learn to, and this is the art of copywriting. It's why I say it's the starting point for most business people, is learn how to say what there is to say in a way that lands with the person who's wanting to hear what they want to hear, not what you want to say.
Correct. And it needs to be their idea.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And every consumer has not invented here syndrome.
Yeah. And I'm not talking about saying anything, you know, unethical, or we're starting with the baseline that everything you say is actually true and the product that you service that you have does what you say it does. But again, if you just said exactly what the thing did, you would not have any sales. And that is copywriting. And again, we're a product of our own past generations of marketers that have formed this theory. All of those things you could flip on their head, though. You could flip it the other way and be like, hey, would you want a product that told you exactly up front, without any guesswork, exactly what you were getting, and say you're getting all these things together without value stacking, would you buy it? And no. Most people will say yes, but when in reality, they won't.
No, they won't. You go say, hey, listen, I have a fairly hot, muggy room with a lot of metal laying around that's very heavy so that you have things to press against. Would you like to join my gym?
Right.
Nah, I'm going to pass. But it's like, come be a part of one of the most, you know, intense teams of committed people supporting each other and, you know, getting their sweat on and, yeah, like, make it sound fun when it's really not fun. I get up every morning to do it. It's not fun to work out. No, I love it. I'm going to share with you quickly as a probably against my own self-interest, because somebody's going to take this. But in you're talking about that copywriting where you got to weigh the interest of the business. You got to weigh the desires of the consumer. And in many cases, you got to weigh the compliance of the channel.
For sure.
Writing copy on Facebook. So, you know, I sell courses on entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is not fast. It's yep. not easy, but people want fast and easy, right? So you know what the headline is on all my Facebook ads?
What's that?
Discover the fastest way to become a millionaire.
Because
I didn't say it was fast.
That is marketing.
I didn't say it was fast, but people are like, oh, sweet, I can get the fastest way to become a millionaire. I got 5 minutes. What do you got for me? I'm like, well.
Right.
With 5 minutes, we can get you logged in.
Exactly. And here's the other crazy thing is, I find a lot of people, they come seeking in, it doesn't, again, this is not exclusive to any one product or service or person or anything, but people come looking for the solution. The problem is they don't even know what questions to ask, which most of the time, if I'm doing high level consulting and, you know, I'm getting paid 50 grand a day to do consulting for this company, most of the time it's getting them thinking the right way.
Right.
And not actually the techniques of how they're going to do what they're supposed to do to get to the success that they're wanting. But they came in saying, hey, I'd really love you to design our new website. Well, you don't need a new website, right? That's not what you need. You don't even know what you don't need. So if you could go in and you could say things like, I buy a lot of courses, and I buy them, in full disclosure, for two main reasons. What is the latest, greatest thing out there, and how is it working? And right. Two, because I want to refine my knowledge and get better at my craft. So I go through a course, and I look at some of these, and I go, this is exactly the entryway to just ask the right questions from the people inside of my network. Oh, I don't have that network. All right, well, I need to go create that network. I better go find a consultant that has this network and pay them to get me into that network or join that mastermind or whatever. But most people are always like thinking the ridiculous way of, I'm going to take this course, I'm going to launch this business, and it's going to be highly successful on my $5,000 budget. But if I flipped it on its head and I said, hey, would you like to buy into a company for $5,000 that is going to pay you $1 million a week for the rest of your life and give you insurance and all that kind of stuff? You're going to be like, okay, what's the catch?
Yeah, that sounds too good to be true.
Okay, so all right. So now as a marketer, you have me between this line of what is too good to be true and what is fast enough for your immediate gratification needs.
So I'll say this, and I know now we're technically 5 minutes over, but I'm pushing my thing and you can push yours. And I think this deserves to be said. Because as a marketer, this is a problem we all, and by the way, if you're an entrepreneur, if you own a business, you're a marketer, get over it. That's actually your job. That's actually, I don't care if you clean teeth for a living, your job is to market and sell tooth cleaning services and spend some of your time fulfilling by actually cleaning the teeth. You're still a marketer, Mr. You know, dentist or whatever. So I guess that would be a dental hygienist, but regardless, this you have to crack this code if you want to be successful, or crack this riddle where it's like how to sell, but how to be ethical. And here's what I'll say is The other way you can approach it is to try to reduce the magnitude of the problem. And here's what I mean by that. The problem is set up by people's, people are how they are and they want immediate gratification, whatever. But also, they don't trust because it's such a crowded landscape. You know, there have been too many episodes of Dateline talking about how Little Miss Molly got her life savings ripped off on the internet. And so everybody's super skeptical and thinks the worst. And so that you're kind of having to fight that battle. And the temptation is to overpromise in order to fight the battle or to compromise your business and put yourself in an unwinnable situation where you're trying to fulfill on a guarantee you never should have made.
Right.
So the other way that you can fight the battle is to build your brand and to stand strong and tall for values in the market that create what you're trying to shortcut later, which is trust and belief. You can create it on the front end. You know, it's what Cialdini calls persuasion. By building a strong enough brand that, you know, ideally I'll use myself as an example. Hopefully I've done this well, that when I tell people, listen, entrepreneurship is about you becoming the person that's worthy of getting the result. And frankly, you shouldn't want to shortcut it because the only person you'd be shortcutting is yourself. I can say something to like that to them and not scare them off if I've built my brand not only to be as visible as it needs to be, but as, you know, interconnected with values as it needs to be. And then people go, you know what? I may not like that, but I trust this Jeff guy. And if he's telling it to me, it's probably what I need to hear. So I'm going to go with it. And like you, and you know what I mean? That's the other way to overcome the challenge, but that itself is a long, hard game to play. And people don't want to do that work, but that's all.
Yeah, and most
I spend most of my time on that work because I think it's the actual best asset to build over time.
Yeah. And most of the time you won't do it on your own. Like you, Jeff, won't do that on your own. You will put out your own videos, but then there's also like building perceived value and actual value. There's things like, well, this that we're doing right now, you have a podcast, you bring on legitimate people to talk business, to talk, you know, that kind of stuff. So now my following is seeing you for the first time. Your following is seeing me for the first time. We're, you know, co-mingling those. Back in the day, the Beatles actually did this better than anybody else. They would go into a town they'd never been to. They'd hire a bunch of local bands to start the show, right? And then they'd bring in, you know, six bands that would bring all their people. And then, you know, the Beatles would show up and they'd get a bunch of new raving fans. Well, same thing is true.
That's cool.
If my team, you know, if the people, when I put this show out on my social media and all of my people see you, there is a perceived value to them that you know what you're talking about, or I wouldn't have come on the show.
Right.
And then the same thing for your audience. There's a perceived value in me because otherwise you wouldn't have me on the show. Right. So if you're doing, so from a marketing standpoint, we do that in every single sales copy, right? There's always a picture of 84 reviews. There's always what this person said and what that person said. And, you know, what cool person do you see a picture, you know, you see a picture with me and Damon John or, you know, one of the Sharks or, you know, Roland or somebody. Well, that is all to subconsciously answer the question before you even ask it of, is this guy, you know, do other people know this guy?
Right.
And because of that, here's another really cool one is inception marketing. Inception marketing is one of the hardest things to do. It is the long game, but it is the real way to get people to buy into a brand without ever knowing that they're buying into the brand and be thankful that they feel like they have the answer and the answer is the brand. I'll give you a great example. So Geico spends more money, about 82% of their marketing budget, targeting people that cannot even drive. Check this out. They advertise to channels and programming with the Geico Lizard to shows and programs and even now with Disney and some other things, they're targeting kids that are 13 to 14 years old. Here's another fun little fact. First-time insurance is sold by banks more than it is by any other form. So this is what happens. They target 13 and 14 year olds for 3 to 4 years on Geico Gecko, 15 right. minutes or less, you know, or less will save you 15% or more on car insurance. That thing, when the kid turns 16, gets a new car, goes to the bank, says, hey, I want to buy this car. Do you have insurance? Where do I find insurance? Geico, Google, Geico. They feel happy that they had that answer. But what they don't understand is inception marketing is the play that has happened to them, and in some cases for them, depending on how you look at that,
right,
to get them to that point. So if you're doing your craft at the highest level, then you should show up in places like I'm here right now. If I'm doing my thing at the highest level, I get sought out by the right people. And then hopefully the right person is listening to this right now that will reach out to me and a deal will happen.
Yeah.
That is inception marketing. And that, to your point, like the dentist guy, when you said, you know, you are a marketer, I would push it even further to be successful now. Instead of you saying, if I say, hey, what do you do for business? And instead of that guy saying, I'm a dentist, he should say, I'm a video production specialist who makes video that goes online that sells dentist services.
Yeah, amen. Honestly, that's a great note to punch out on, man. That's really, really astute. Because you're right, it's not enough to say you're a marketer. What does it mean? What is a good marketer now today a specialist in? And you're right, there's nothing remotely as powerful as video. Yeah. Cool, dude. Amazing. Thank you. I hate to end so abruptly, but like tremendous, so much value. I appreciate you coming on Millionaire Secrets. How can people come get more? I get the sense we have witnessed the tip of the iceberg here, and for myself included, like where do I go get more of this insight?
Yeah. Patchmaker.com. We're actually getting a rebrand. So that, if you check it soon, check it again after the first, cause we got a whole new one launching. And I'm all over social. So anywhere, just Patchmaker, Google it. I'm everywhere.
Cool. Cool. And who are your customers potentially? Are you for consulting services, courses? I know you work a lot with veterans. Like who are you out there trying to connect with it in a almost transactional way?
Yeah. I mean, everything that I have right now is pretty autonomous. You know, I own 42 companies, everything pretty much runs on its own. But I am looking for people that want to get involved in American Dream U, which is basically a nonprofit that helps veterans coming out of the military and going into the civilian world. But you can, again, patchmaker.com, you can find out all kinds of different stuff that I've got going on.
Cool, man. Well, congratulations on all your success. Since I heard you were coming on the show, I've started doing my homework and I've unlocked this world of abundance and achievement. So it's amazing what you've done since coming out of the military. It's amazing. It's amazing what you did in the military. We appreciate your service for sure. And it's amazing what you're doing for people coming out of the military. And I'm just grateful you came on Millionaire Secrets and dropped over an hour of dense knowledge bombs, man. This has been great.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Of course. And thank you to everyone, all of you viewers and listeners. You are the best part of Millionaire Secrets and why we do what we do. I will see you on the next episode. You just finished this episode of the Millionaire Secrets podcast. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please like and share this episode and do leave us a review. Let us know how we impacted you today. Your next step toward creating your awesome life is to join me and thousands of others in the Entre Nation community, where you'll receive free training, networking with other awesome life seekers, access to live events, discounts, merchandise, and other awesome perks. Head over to www.entrenation.com. That is www.entrenation.com and join us today. And of course, do please follow me on social media. I can be found on all the major social networks at Jeff Lerner Official. Thank you again for listening, and please go be awesome.